Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through verses 39. I want to talk to you, as I said earlier, on the word peace. It seems like today, every turn that we make, it's hard to find peace, isn't it? A lot of circumstances of life will lead us on a different path. And we can be easily caught up in the chaos of the world, the fears around us, the worries before us, the frustrations that come our way. And time again, it's just the same old thing over and over again. When was the last time you heard something good? You turn the TV on, you turn the news on, it's like it's bad, bad, and more bad. But I can tell you what, every time I open God's Word, I can read about His love. I can read about His peace that passes all understanding. I can read about how much He cares about me. And when I look at that part of the Scriptures that teach me about His love, my friends, I even grow more and more. I would like to say this. There used to be an old saying one time, it says, we had a slogan about Coca-Cola many years ago. And the one thing that it says in the Coca-Cola slogan was, peace and harmony. Remember that? Years ago? Well, it ain't so. If I could give a Coke to the world today and everybody in it, and we could have peace and harmony, I'd do that. Amen. But it's going to take more than just a Coca-Cola or a soda pop to do that. It's going to take people getting their hearts right with God, people having the right mindset, and people growing in their daily walk with Him. But until that happens, nothing is going to change. The Bible teaches us over and over again there will never be peace until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and sets up His millennial kingdom. That's going to be peace. That's going to be understanding of something that we don't understand. But He is going to bring that to us. As Jesus' disciples gathered in the upper room during this time, they were waiting. They had the doors locked and they were afraid what was going to happen to them because they knew that Jesus was now off the scene. But they didn't realize that He was going to come back for just a few minutes or a few days and spend some time with them. We today need to realize something. That you as a Christian, you have Christ living in you every single day. And that should give you some type of peace within. Please stand with me in reverence and reading of God's Word. Again, Luke chapter 24, starting in verse number 36. And Jesus appears here and says, And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Remember those words. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? It says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. For His spirit hath not flesh and bones, so ye see me have, He says. In other words, He says, peace. Peace be unto you. That same peace He gives to us today through His beloved life that He gave for us on the cross of Calvary. Let's pray. Father in heaven, today I pray that we would have some peace of mind in what's going on around us within this service. We need you. We need you to come alongside this morning. Hold us close to you. We're seeing so much disarray in the world today. I think about the soldiers that lost their lives in Afghanistan yesterday. I see those that are being hurt on our streets in this country called America. So much turmoil is going from coast to coast. But Father, we know one thing, that if we could really seek your face as we should, just humble ourselves in a mighty way, how much change would come in this world. I ask your blessing upon our time today and upon this service. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Have you ever thought about how peace comes in life today? We fight war after war, battle after battle, and say to ourselves, there's still no peace. You and I as individuals battle within ourselves there. We will have a fight going on between the spirit and between the devil. Why is that? Because he is out to try to usurp his authority over you and over me, even as a Christian today. But we can overcome anything that he throws our way because you and I have the strength of Jesus Christ in us. The disciples themselves, they were in this upper room that night. They were waiting and they were afraid what was going to happen to them if the Judaizers would come at that time, the legalistic people of that day. They were going to come in, attack them, and execute every one of them. But about that time, as they were sitting there and they were so afraid about what was going to happen, Jesus came on the scene. And this is what really gets me. He said to them, "Peace be unto you." And the next verse says, "But they were terrified and they were affrighted." In other words, they were frightened. Suppose that they had seen a spirit. I want you to realize something this morning. It seems like no matter what you do in life, just like the disciples, you could live with Jesus, you could work with him for 3.5 years, and all of a sudden when he shows up on the scene, the first thing they think of is being afraid. Never be afraid of what Jesus Christ can do for you. Never be afraid to stand up for what you believe in. You see, the disciples were giving a very direct command from the Lord after all this was done. He told them to go into the world, to baptize, to preach, and to do the things that were given then in Matthew. He talked about it, and it talks about it here too. He wanted them to understand that their strength and their peace of mind would only come from him because of the Spirit that indwelled them at this time, after Pentecost. And we see people going out today, and we talk to people today, and you ask them, you know, what's going on in your life? Oh, it's just hectic. Turmoil everywhere. Things aren't good. We worry about finances. We worry about the tax man coming. We worry about everything in this world today. Have you ever really thought about what Jesus really worries about? Did he worry about the cross of Calvary? No. Did he worry about he had to die for our sins? When he said to his Father, he said, "If you let this cup pass from me, let it be so." But he said, "If not," he said, "I will do what you commanded me to do." And it says that as he went, you know, to the cross of Calvary and he hung on that cross for us and died for us, he looked into heaven and he said to his Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Man today still doesn't understand the concept of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring us internal peace to the Spirit that indwells us. But we have to let him do what? Reign and rule in our lives 100%. Sometimes it's hard to do, but we can do that if our focus is on him in our daily walk of life. The disciples knew what they needed to do, but they became afraid because of what was going on around them. And the first thing they thought about, our leader is gone, what are we going to do now? Just because Jesus had left them at that moment to go to heaven, but was now back and walked upon the earth, as you know, for some 40 days, talking and communing with them, that when he left and told them the Spirit was going to come upon them in Acts chapter 2, and the Spirit came like cloven tongues of fire from heaven and set upon them, their whole life changed, their whole demeanor changed. And I'm going to tell you what, I'll guarantee you, they had peace within because now they were a changed individual with the Spirit living in them. When you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there should be an internal peace that passes all understanding. Something that you really can't describe, but it gives you that good feeling of knowing that you have done something that's right in the sight of God. And God will lift you up, and God will use you in a mighty way. And this is what we are to live by each day. What do you think about yourself today? What do you do, or what do you have to accomplish to have peace? Have you ever thought about it? What do you have to accomplish to have peace? Well, most of us today don't understand peace as a small word. It means shalom. It means to come together. It means hello. It means a lot of things, my friends. But I want you to realize this today, that that Hebrew word that Jesus gave to us, this shalom he talks about, is a word that should stand out in our vocabulary as individuals and as Christians today. We are to celebrate what the Lord has done for us. When you think about Passover, when the Lord himself, you know, he administered the Passover itself, you know, when they were in Israel, and all of a sudden it said the death angel was coming, and they put the blood on the doorpost, the lentils they call it. It says all of a sudden, what did it say? It says that you have it on the doorpost, those within the house will have what? They will be saved. They will have peace. They will not have turmoil. They will not have confusion. Because God did what? God blessed them because of what they did of killing that lamb and putting the blood on the post. Now, we have a lamb that died for us. His name was Jesus. And if Jesus doesn't give you peace, my friends, as a Christian, there's something wrong with your walk of life. It means you don't have what you say you have. Because he should bring inner peace to you. In other words, he went before us. He gave his life for us. And now we're to do what? We're to follow in his direction and have that internal peace that we can reach somebody, talk to somebody, and share the gospel message with somebody. This is what gives me peace of mind. Even though the world is in turmoil today, I can have peace of mind because he has lived in my heart and He still lives in my heart today. And I'm so glad for that, and I'm thankful for that. Each one of us here ought to feel that too. That love and compassion that Jesus had for you on the cross of Calvary. Now, as you look at this text for just a minute, look what He says. He said in the first verse, He said, "And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, Peace be unto you." Now, if Jesus walked in here today, what would your reaction be? Yep, just what you're doing now. Amen. Oh, no, you know, what's going on here, you know? When Jesus came on the scene, what did they do? He said, "Peace be unto you." And the first thing they did, they got excited. They were terrified of the one that came. We are never to be terrified of the one that came and gave it all for us. We're never to be afraid to what? Mention the gospel message. Never to be afraid to tell people about Christ. And if you tell people, you can tell them, "He will give you peace. He will give you peace. He will give you peace." But the fact is, we don't have peace because we don't grab for peace. People like turmoil. They like confusion in the world today. When something goes wrong with somebody's life, you know, and something's not going good for them, the first thing you say to yourself is, "Well, I knew they were like that and that was going to happen to them." It's a sad situation. We should pray for peace. We should pray for the understanding that only can come from Jesus Christ as He has lived for us and gave His life for us. Look, you think this writer here, Luke himself, the physician that he was, did all that he could to reach out in a relationship with his Father in heaven? In chapter 19 of this text, it talks about these words in verse 42. Look what he says. He said, "If thou had known me," he said, "even thou, at least in this my day, thy day, the things which belong," he said, "unto thy peace, but now," he said, "they are hid from thine eyes." Why? Because you have shut me off, you don't see the peace that I provide for you. Then he said in verse 43, "For the days shall come upon thee," said, "that thine enemies shall cast a trench," he said, "about thee, compass round about, and keep thee," he said, "on every side." And he says, in other words, you're going to be caught up. People are going to compass you, and you're not going to have that peace that you thought you had. Now, he said that because he went right to the next verse, verse 44, and he said this, "And shall lay these even with the ground," he said, "and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave," he said, "in thee one stone upon another, because thou," what? "Knewest not the time of my visitation." He says, when Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, he said, they're going to compass you, there will be no peace, and you will flee, he said, from this place. But you know what's so good about the Lord's word? It says that after that, he did what? They were confusing the people in the temple, so Jesus went into the temple, turned over the tables, the money changers. He got all upset. They said he had a righteous anger about him. He did the right thing because he said this. He said, "Instead of my Father's house being a house of prayer, you have made it a den of thieves." Where was the peace that should have been in that place when he went into worship? There should be peace when you come to church. There should be peace when you walk through the doors. There should be love in the church and in God's fellowship. We should have that relationship, and we should share that relationship with one another instead of being afraid to say, "I love you and I care about you and I'm praying for you. Peace be with you," and shalom, and all the rest of it. But what happens today? So much turmoil in the world because we don't have the love of Jesus Christ as it should be. So what happens before us? Jesus Christ gave it all for us, but there's something that we have to do. Why is that a problem? It's called the issues of heart. Where is your heart at today? How close are you to Christ today? The Bible says in John 14:1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." If you have a heart that's troubled today, it's because you're not in touch with the Lord like you should be. Your prayer life is not up to where it should be. You're not living your life according to God's word and God's relationship. He tells us in His word that we're to turn our hearts to Him. He says, "Let it not be afraid. Have peace with God." Why? Because that peace that God gives you is a peace, is a gift that comes from God Himself. I love that part of it. Because it is a gift. And we can have that peace within ourselves today and to learn to love the Lord and to accept Him for what He has done. Sometimes we get confused about a gift, don't we? We get confused about gifts. The greatest gift that we've ever received from the Lord, from God Almighty, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest gift of all. And if Christ was willing to give Himself as a gift for us on the cross of Calvary, shouldn't we say thank you? And have inner peace within ourselves today. We are living in a day, my friends, where peace is not around the corner, is it? Why? goes back to one issue, heart. Where's your heart this morning? He said, well, it's right here, it's beating. I know it's beating because you're still breathing, amen? Huh? Just like this. Just like this, just beating away. How many times your heart beat in a lifetime? You don't know. They can guesstimate it. So many times, so many hours, so many times in a minute, so many times in an hour, and all this, it just beats and beats. The problem is this. What's your heart beating for? What's your heart beating for? It should be beating for the love of Jesus Christ. It should be taking that heart that every beat you take, if you can give your life to Him. And everything that you do in life should be for Him. When I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Lord. And I always ask this question, Lord. I say, Lord, please, I'll say it this way. Please, Lord, give me another peaceful day. And then at the end of the day, you've had turmoil day in and day out, right? Then I go to bed at night and I'll say, thank you, Lord. Even though it wasn't as peaceful as I wanted it to be, at least I have peace of mind to know we made it through this day. I can say that. And you can say that too, because each day that you make it through, God will give you that peace that you need. But the heart is very important. The heart is really the center, isn't it? Because what does it say? It said, God knows the heart. He said, when the Spirit comes to live and dwell in you, it dwells within the heart. He looks down on you. He sees where you are. He knows what you need. He knows the changes you have to make in your life. He knows all these things about us. And that's why he said to the disciples, he said, you may be afraid, but peace be unto you. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Remember, I am here for you. I gave my life for you. You have a new beginning to start. And every time that you come to church and leave church, guess what? You have another day to live for the Lord if He gives it to you. It should be a day of starting out with love and unity and togetherness in the body of Christ. When you wake up in the morning and go to work, you just say, thank you, Lord, I can spend another day. Go in, you know. Have a smile on your face. Tell people you love them. Have that peaceful attitude about you. That's the problem we have today is attitude, isn't it? Anybody got an attitude in there? Huh? That attitude? Yeah. We should have an attitude of gratitude. Thankful, Lord, for what you're doing for me, right? But most of the time, what's the attitude? Disgruntled. Got to get up and go to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. There's always something else coming and going, all the time, right? The fact is, we make ourselves miserable by putting ourselves in situations that we shouldn't be. That's why we don't have the peace like we should have. Because we get in situations we shouldn't be. Or you can say, well, preacher, you know, you just don't understand my life. Yeah, I do. Not being as close to Christ as you say you are. Because if you're living close to Christ like you say you are, you can overcome any obstacle that the world throws at you. You can have that inner peace within here. It can only come from God. That's the peace that I want to see in people's lives today. That's what I want to see in our nation today. That's what I want to see in the world today, too. But I know that total peace will never come. That's why it has to start here with me. It has to start with you. Having a peaceful attitude about you. Having a peaceful relationship or demeanor about you. It comes here. It starts within you and the individual. And if it starts in here, my friends, we can take it and do what with it? Share it with those around us. That love that follows, all of that comes together in relationship. We're perishing today because of it. We've fallen to the wayside because we don't have love and peace and unity within ourselves today. And you have no one to blame but you. You can't blame the Lord. He has given us His Word. He's given us His Son. He has given us the opportunity to share, to be a part of the relationship. So who do you have to blame today for anything that happens in the world? You got to look at yourself. Because people always tell me, you point that finger. You know what we always say, don't you? I point one this way, one up. There's 3 points back at me, so I got to look at me first. We got to look at us first. Who are we? Who are you this morning? What is your life like this morning? We're going back to chapter 24 and look at verse 38. Look what he says. He said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts, he says. In other words, he says, why? Why? Your heart's not right, but he says something else too. He said, your mind's not right either. Sometimes I think people don't have one. Okay? You ever thought that? You ever seen people you thought, where's the brain at? You ever thought about it? It's an issue of mind. It's an issue of heart, too. But the mind, what do you think in life today? See, peace is what we call, is more than just a feeling. It's an issue of heart and mind. You always like that. How many of y'all think about good things all the time?
Yep, I didn't think so.
I don't either. Isn't it hard to think about good things all the time? You know, I think about good things when I sit down to eat, right? Yeah, you know, dessert's coming. Amen, that's a good thing. You know, you can smile. It's coming later, too. But what about the mind? What do you think about? What do you really think about today? I think about what's going on in that nation today. I think about the turmoil that's in D.C. today. I think about the turmoil that's in every state today. Virginia's no different. We got problems. Why do we have problems? Because people don't think before they act and react to them. It's my way, no way, or the highway. You ever notice that? Is that the way to live? No, it's not. You see, you and I have a mind that God has given to us, so that we're able to comprehend the things that he tells us, to be able to understand his precious word, to acknowledge who we are, that we're sinners saved by grace. The Bible teaches us. These are words that are being put up here every day. When thoughts come to your mind that are not right, put the love of God up there. You know, take his word that says, hide it in your heart, call it to remembrance when things aren't going good. Remember what he's done for you and what he's done for me. That he has given us a center right here in this book that we are to live by every day. This Bible tells us one thing. Jesus was in the beginning, Jesus is in the middle, and Jesus is in the end. And if he's in all of the Bible that we talk about and preach about, then what has happened to the relationship between us and Jesus? It stops somewhere. It stops somewhere when we close the book up, when we don't open the book up, when we don't read and study the book. How can you have peace of mind unless you're in this book? How can you have peace that passes all understanding if you're not in this book? How can you have peace when he says here, peace be unto you unless you are in this book? How can you have that? You can't unless you read the book, look at the book, spend time in the book, and I agree with you too, dear. Amen. But we have to do one thing. Put Jesus first. You've got to put him first. Yes, we're going to have trials and tribulations of life, but I can overcome that because of Christ who overcame death, hell, and the grave and gave you and I victory. We have victory in Jesus. We sang about it just a few minutes ago. We had victory over and over again. And I do not have to suffer because I serve the one that gave me victory on the cross of Calvary. His name is Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. So you got this issue of heart. You got an issue of what you put up here and how you're living your life today. But then there's something else that stands out to me too in this text this morning, and that's this. It's called recognized peace. In other words, you ever recognize that? I like what I put in here, the good stuff. The good stuff. How many of y'all went out and ate last night at the firehouse? Come on, raise your hand. Let me see. Okay, I can tell some of you did. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wasn't it good? Good stuff, right? Some of you left there waddling worse than when you came in. Amen. It was the good stuff. We liked it. What's the good stuff of the Bible? Jesus Christ is the good stuff of the Bible. He's the only thing of the Bible. Christ, crucified, risen, coming again, as the Bible teaches us. This is what he talks about. My peace, he says, I will give to you. It's an unconditional peace, a gift he's given to you. And he continues to do that. The spiritual achievements of our lives today. How am I living my life today? Am I spiritually alive in Jesus Christ? Does my spirit come forward when I speak? Does my spirit, is it alive in me when I talk to someone? Is it alive when I walk down the street and people see me? Do they see something different about me? Or do I just fit into the crowd and I look like everybody else? See, if the Spirit of God is living in you like it should, well, you have this upbeat about you. You know, it's like you're walking on a cloud. You know, you should feel good about it. You should have peace within yourself when you think about what Jesus has done for you. Recognize what he's doing in your life. Recognize the love that he has for you. You know what we like to recognize? Going back to something I said earlier. This is what we do. How are my finances going? Do I have enough money to get by? Things going well for me? I'll have peace of mind Everything is just right on the right line. I'm living every day to the fullest potential of having what I want. Well, if I retire, everything's going to be peaceful. I hate to tell somebody, some of y'all will tell me very quickly, you retired, you wish you had stayed working, amen? Because you work harder now than you did before. We think that's the greatest thing. I'm going to retire and everything's going to be okay. You know? We look at things in a different light than what the Lord looks at. What brings you peace? It's nice to have those things and the commodities of life, right? The fact is this, if Christ is not centered in your life, you're not going to have peace doing any of that stuff. You'll be just as miserable as when you were working or when you retire. What, you'll be miserable. You got to be upbeat. You got to have that uplift, that smile about you on your face. That's what you need more of. And more of Jesus right there for you. Do we live that way today? No. So we let the world suppress us, keep pushing us down, and pushing us down. And we forget that all we got to do is look up. This favor will reach down through the muck and mire, the sin-sick world, and pick you right back up, put you right back on a solid foundation. And you can move on from there. Never, ever stop looking to Him for guidance for your life. You have a problem, but we don't want to admit the problem anymore. Not being Christ-centered. Being Christ-centered means that He is the center of your life. Every day, He's the center of your life. Do you recognize that? Do you really recognize who you are right now in your life with the Lord Jesus Christ? Achievements of life, my goodness. I've achieved a lot of things in my life. I know I have. I don't deserve one iota of what I got. None of it. But by God's grace and love, He provides. You see? None of us deserve what we have. But because we serve a loving God, it's what we have. That's why we have achieved the things we've achieved in life. Because He has given us the strength to be able to endure. It's never an easy day. But there's always something difficult to you that comes along. And maybe some of y'all are living on an easy streak, and that's good, but I don't think so. Because no matter what you're doing in life, there's always something that's going to come along. They're going to throw a wrench into it and you'll be in trouble. And you wonder why it came my way. Why? Because Christ is not done in your life. How many of y'all are struggling today? Issues of life. How many of you are really struggling today? I mean, the fact is we struggle. You struggle and I struggle with problems. Issues of life, we struggle. But we don't have to, my friends, get caught up in the struggles of the life to pull us away from the Lord. We need to put Him first in everything. So if I'm struggling, I can finally have peace. Why? Because I can turn to Him and say, Lord, I need to have peace that passes all understanding. I need to be what? Centered in You. That You will give me the peace that I need every day to live my life accordingly. But sometimes what do? You ever sit down and just give up? I can't do this anymore. Did Jesus give up? Did He quit? If you call yourself a Christian, you're not supposed to quit. You're supposed to keep moving ahead. But what did Jesus do? He got up and went. He did for us. Coming back again for us. All the disciples did what? They got up after He went and told them. He said, you need to go ye therefore and teach. He said, all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, He said. Get up and go. Do something. Get off your pity party seats there. And He says, go do for me. He said, you'll have peace. You may not understand the peace that's coming your way, but you should have peace when you see people come to Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, to know that the devil has lost another one. That should give you peace. To know that he's been defeated again. And every time that somebody in his church gets saved, I can tell you that week is turmoil. Because all the devil wants to do is knock on my front door. You know what he tells me? Oh, you think you got it made, don't you? You got another one. When I tell him, I said, yeah, but my God's bigger than you and always be bigger than you. He's already beaten me. He's already defeated me. I have peace because of that. Because of what He's done for me. Giving me that life that I need. Peace. You're not going to have peace every day. But my friend, you can strive to have peace. What you want to do with the goes before us, Jesus Christ. What issues are there? There's a heart issue. There's a mind issue. To recognize where you are today is very important, so that when tomorrow comes, you'll know where you are. With Christ or not, if you're living your life to the fullest potential that He's given to you, you will know tomorrow. Struggle. My friends, don't hide your eyes from Him. Don't hide away from Him and run away from Him, but put Him first. Look at that next verse, what He said here. Verse 39, look what He said. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, He said. Handle me and see. For His Spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see He has. In other words, He said, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? He said, you see the holes in my hands? You see the holes in my feet? You see where the spear pierced me in my side? He said, did you see all this? This is what I did for you. Don't be afraid. That's it. Peace, He says, I bring to you. Peace I give to you. See, we have peace with God through Jesus. Romans 5:1 says this. Therefore, I have peace with God through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think Paul said it best of all. I have peace because of Him. I have peace because of the cross. I have peace because of the truth. I have peace because I serve a risen Savior. I have peace because He sits on the right hand of God the Father. I have peace because He's coming again. I have peace to know that when I die where I'm going to, I have peace. In other words, I can say to myself, when I die, I will rest. See, what is there to be afraid of in this world? Nothing. Nothing at all. Because all of our peace comes from the world. His life for us on the cross of God. In other words, 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says this, now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always, by all means, the Lord be with you. I'll call today. See, I have peace today because of that. I'll have peace tomorrow because of Him. And even when struggles come and hard times come and difficulties come, I can still have peace through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave you the Spirit.